1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 24. How should we listen to these words? Why should we listen to them so carefully?
Because they're God's.
Because they are God's words, and also because in making the hearing of his word read an act of worship, the Lord expects us to give ourselves to him in the hearing of his word, which means you offer careful listening, you offer thoughtful listening, you offer submitted listening, desiring to have your thoughts and lives corrected, informed, directed by his word, that we offer those things as an act of worship. Recently heard someone say about worship, "I don't get anything out of it." And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't come to worship you." But you can't say that to somebody. But you get the point, right? When we come to worship God, we come to offer ourselves to him. It is his astonishing grace and mercy that in his worship, he gives himself to us. All right. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 24. Let us worship God in offering to him the very careful hearing of his word. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and everyone who works and labors with us. I'm glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The salutation with my own hand, Paul's. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. So the first verse says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Ezekiel, what is one of the commands from that verse? Watch, very good. Victoria, what's another one?
Stand fast.
Stand fast. John, give us another one.
Be brave.
Be brave. Beatrice, give us another one.
Be strong.
Watch. Stand fast. Be brave. Be strong. What does it sound like is going on here? Yes, BB.
A war.
A battle. And this sounds like a commander barking out the orders and encouragements to his people. Christian life is a battle. There have been lots of things that Paul has corrected the Corinthians on, but he's encouraging them, leading them, commanding them like a battle leader. We are at war. We are in a battle. We are in a battle with forces, spiritual forces who are against the Lord Jesus. We are in a battle with remaining sin and with our own flesh. We are in a battle with all those and their ideas and their actions who oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. This battle is not won only with bravery and strength and watchfulness. It is won with what from verse 14, Carissa? Love. Let all that you do be done with love. When we love the Lord, we are doing battle with the devil, driving him nuts. Nothing drove him more nuts than the Lord saying, have you considered my servant Job. He loves me. Satan, of course he loves you. Look at all that good stuff you've done for him. Okay, take away everything, just don't touch him. Then Job was what? Still loves the Lord, comes back. Have you considered my servant Job? When we love the Lord, we do spiritual battle. When we love one another, we do spiritual battle. In a couple weeks, we'll be into 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and Paul will be urging that church now to display their affection for the brother who has repented and bring him back into the fold and the affection, the loving interaction with the church. And he'll say, for we are not ignorant of the schemes of the devil. The devil wants us to be cold and distant and separated from one another. So when we love one another, we are fighting a battle against the devil and against our sin, against the world. And so when he keeps telling us on this, the churches of Asia greet you. They're doing battle against the devil. They care about you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. The church that is in their house greets you. All the brethren greet you. You greet one another with a holy kiss. They might have been afraid to show affection for one another because in Corinth, showing love to one another was so messed up by the wickedness in Corinth. Very similar to the problems in our culture. And he says, no, don't be afraid to show one another affection. Just make sure it's holy. Make sure it's pure, only from the motives of glorifying Jesus. And so therefore, not at all permitting any thought or desire for breaking Jesus' law with one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. What, John?
What's a holy kiss?
A holy kiss is... you remember when we were in Cyprus, a lot of people when they met each other would kiss one cheek, kiss the other cheek. Okay, very similar culture, except for if people are wicked, people are wicked, but when people are indulging their wickedness more, that can turn into something in their heads, or even not just in their heads, something very filthy. And you say, no, don't be like the rest of the Corinthians. Don't indulge the kind of wickedness that ends up with the situation that we saw in chapter 5. But also, don't be afraid to show any affection at all. Like some had said, even a man shouldn't with his wife in chapter 7. He's like, go ahead and show affection, but make sure it's holy. Make sure it's done in the right way, with right motives, right thoughts. Okay? But all of these urging them, telling them the greetings that others send them, urging them to greet one another. And then even, he says, this salutation with my own hand. And of course, the size of the letters had to be very big because Paul's getting old and he can't see very well. And so, like the rest of the letters, this really very clear, very good handwriting, small print, make good use of the entire scroll. And so you have 1 Corinthians and it looks like that. And then at the end of the letter, it's like a 3-year-old wrote it. Great big characters. He's just learning his letters. Except for it's not someone who's just learning his letters. It's the Apostle Paul. And they know. They know that Paul can't see very well when he was with them. You know, the children had to be careful around him not to trip him, stuff like that, because his eyesight wasn't very good. But now those same children are saying, ooh, 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 let me see. As the elder, maybe it is Stephanus or Fortunatus or Archaicus, whoever is leading worship at that point. Timothy isn't with them yet. Remember, he just wrote to them saying, when Timothy gets there, make sure you treat him well. But yes, eventually it might be Timothy. Whatever elder is reading it, and the children are like, the salutation with my own hand. Oh, let us see Paul's handwriting. And they see the big letters, and maybe one mischievous or not as honoring as he should be little child says, I could write better than that. Well, of course you can. You still have your eyesight. But all of this showing love for one another, even Paul showing love for them, doing battle, loving one another, and even and especially loving our enemies is a form of spiritual battle. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. When we love our enemies, we show ourselves to be children of our Father in heaven. Okay, so there's this battle language and there's this love language. So love is part of the battle, and battling is part of love. It might be shocking when Paul signs he's just writing a couple sentences with his own hand in his own handwriting. The first thing he writes, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. What happened to let everything you do be done with love, Paul? Well, love first is love for Jesus. And love for someone who doesn't love Jesus means warning them that they are in danger of hell. If we don't love Jesus, if we don't hate our sin, if we have not seen the danger of our sin and seen the righteousness and sacrifice of Jesus for us and his love for us, if we haven't seen those things and run from our sin and clung to Jesus, held on to Jesus for his salvation for us, then we will go to hell. And if someone is on their way to hell, is it loving to say, oh, I just feel so good about you, and I'm so glad for you, and, you know, pat, 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 everything's going to be just fine with you, even though you're going to burn an eternal flame forever, and it's going to feel from the inside of your body and your soul like there's worms eating you alive forever and ever. Pat, 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 you're just fine. Is that loving?
No.
Oh, it might be. You know, from one of those It's a Southern Thing videos on Facebook, but it's not loving. Okay? So, seriousness and boldness, even with something like hell. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That's part of love, even for your enemy, even for the unbeliever. If you take pleasure in their pain, that's not loving. But if you warn them seriously, and if you're in your love for Jesus, you say, this is right. Love always agrees what it's right. It rejoices in truth, not in error. Remember. Okay, so battle, good battling is done in love, and good loving is done with battling. Now, this is something that is not natural or easy for us. Not only do we have contempt for each other by our nature, by our remaining sin, but we are naturally lazy. But there was a family in their church that wasn't lazy. They were devoted to service. Whose family was that, Emmett? Devoted to ministry is what New King James says. Whose family? Whose family was it, Cassidy?
The household of Stephanus.
The household of Stephanus was, you remember the King James version of it? Someone had that at church? Addicted to service. You know, they are always serving everybody. They can't get enough of serving others. So it doesn't come natural to us to love and to serve, to be unselfish, to be diligent, and especially to serve people in a church like the church in Corinth, where everyone is, you know, there's party spirit and people are having all kinds of conflict and nobody is thankful for everyone else and everyone is thoughtless. And then there's the household of the guy named Stephanus, his wife and kids and servants. Yeah, people don't thank them, and people gossip about them, and yeah, but they're addicted to service. They just love to serve everybody. And Paul says, "I urge you, brethren, submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. Acknowledge such men." He says, Stephanus isn't just a gift to his house so that they can learn to do the spiritual battle of love. Stephanus is also a gift to you. Why? What office, what role would Stephanus have had in the Corinthian church? Or Fortunatus, or Achaicus? Since the apostle is telling them to submit to him, then he must be what?
An elder.
An elder. An elder. So he says, Stephanus isn't just a gift to his wife and his kids and his household servants. Stephanus is a gift to all of you Corinthians. So that by the Lord's blessing on his leadership in the church, just like the Lord has blessed his leadership in the home, you too may, by the grace of Jesus working in you, that grace that the apostle prays for in verse 23, you too, by the grace of Jesus, may become addicted to service, devoted to ministry. Now, has the Lord given us any gifts in our church so that we could be addicted to service and devoted to ministry? Whom has the Lord given us? Ezekiel, whom has the Lord given you to help you learn to love and serve Jesus and his people? He's given you his son, first of all. That's absolutely right. Jesus is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Whom else has the Lord given you, Victoria? Whom has the Lord given you in your home to lead you and teach you to love him and to love others and serve them? Whom, Victoria? Daddy and mommy in the home, right. Whom has the Lord given you in the church, John?
Elders.
Who are your elders? It's one thing to say, oh, elders are a gift from God, but I don't like that you list off the elders that are your specific gift that God has specifically assigned to you in your specific church. Whom has the Lord given you, Bibi? Uncle Charlie, whom has the Lord given you, Carissa? Mr. Rensler, whom has the Lord given you, Emmett?
Mr. Patterson,
whom has the Lord given you, Cassidy? Oh, good job, Victoria. Whom has the Lord given you, Victoria?
You.
That's right, I'm one of the elders, too. Victoria is a good Presbyterian. She recognizes that the pastor is one among the elders. Very good, yes. These are the ones that the Lord has given to us to lead us so that by their leadership, Jesus has promised, by their ministry, to work his grace in our hearts so that we too will become devoted to ministry, so that we too will become addicted to service. So it won't do for us to say, oh, I read this in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 through 24, and I agree in principle with the idea that elders are gifts of Jesus who labor with Jesus to produce this effect in their people. But I don't think Mr. Charlie has enough leadership, or I don't think that Mr. Patterson really knows as much as I think he should know, or I don't think that Mr. Rensler is as gentle or affectionate or effeminate as I wish he was with me. So I am not going to submit to or acknowledge these men because they are not the kind of elders that I think I should have. And all of a sudden, I am completely rebelling against the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is like, uh-uh. Stephanus is the one that God put in your church. Fortunatus is the one that God put in your church. Achaicus is the one that God put in your church. You submit to those men and any such as they. Okay, so let us do battle by being loving. And let us love by doing battle. And let us be led to loving and to doing battle. Let us be led by those whom the Lord Jesus has set over us. And those other elders are over me, too. You guys hold me accountable for that. What, John?
Can we go to the bathroom?
No, you can wait. You can always wait. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for your word. Oh, when we open it up and we start understanding it and realizing how it directly applies to our own situation, we're rebuked, but we're so thankful for Jesus and his righteousness and his sacrifice to put away our sin, his power and his life that you give to be in us, and by which he destroys the serpent and the work of the serpent. And we pray that you would glorify him by working in us and each of us at this table, that you would glorify him by working in our church and producing this love and this courage, this standing fast, this watching, this being brave, being strong. We ask it all in his name. And your children here say, amen.
Amen.
Amen.